Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A mentor with the Ocean County Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. As a small business owner, you worry about a lot of things. Things such as, how can I increase my customer base? Do I have enough cash flow to meet the business's demands? Are my goods and or services priced right? Should I hire additional help? On top of the usual business problems, there is the problem of business fraud and scams. According to the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, the ACFE, business organizations lose approximately $3.7 trillion worldwide each year due to fraud. Despite the various controls put in place by businesses to mitigate the risk of fraud, employee fraud continues. The motivation for employees to commit fraud comes from different factors. Some factors that motivate employees to commit fraud include incentive pressure, opportunity, and the rationalization to justify fraud activities. It was found that individuals and business leaders viewed unethical behavior and fraud differently. Common employee fraud included corruption, financial statement fraud, and asset misappropriation. It has been suggested that inadequate internal controls over company assets may increase the likelihood of asset misappropriation within an organization. Small retail businesses are also not immune to employee fraud. Employee fraud affects organizations of all sizes. Employee fraud is committed by malicious employees who have access to business assets and deliberately misuse the assets to their advantage. The specific business problem is that some small retail business owners lack strategies to detect and prevent employee fraud. Some of the circumstances include inadequate internal controls, inadequate physical security of business resources, and the lack of mandatory employee vacations. But employee fraud is not the only fraud that can affect small businesses. They are also vulnerable to scams. Scams can impact every business, regardless of size, location, or industry. But they are especially a problem for small businesses. Local businesses and startups often don't have the cybersecurity support or established accounting processes of larger companies. This can make them more vulnerable to scams. The number of reported scams increased from 139 million in 2019 to 266 million in 2020. The massive growth was caused mainly due to the COVID pandemic, and in part, more countries have started to report online fraud. In the USA, the number of reported scams grew by 22%. Egypt, with 190%, and Nigeria, with 186%, reported the most dramatic increase in the number of scams as their population is increasing the use of the Internet. Fortunately, knowledge is the best protection. If you own or work for a small business, be sure to stay informed about these common scams and business frauds. To help you keep informed, I would like to make you aware of the most common business frauds and business scams. Plus, I hope to give you some ways to mitigate the common types of fraud and scams. I'll start first with the most common types of business fraud. They are accounts payable and supplier fraud, time card and wage fraud, property theft, unemployment fraud, credit card and expense report fraud, commission fraud, and embezzlement and other advance accounting frauds. Starting with AP and fake supplier fraud, let me ask you, how many suppliers does your business have? Dozens? Hundreds? If you are a manufacturer, you may even have thousands. Fraud can start when your business becomes too large to monitor 100% of the vendor payments. Your accounting department could commit AP fraud. Here's an example. Jane is a bookkeeper for Acme Inc., a contract manufacturer. She spends all day entering bills into the system and earns $15 an hour. Poor Jane sees herself as the backbone of a $10 million supplier base, but makes almost no money. It just so happens that Jane's boyfriend happens to share an address with a new supplier. What harm is it to slip in a $500 freight invoice from the new supplier? No one will notice that missing cash flow, and once the first one goes by unnoticed, why not pay those freight fees every month? Jane is stealing cash through fake supplier fraud. Fake supplier fraud is the most common fraud cases in accounting departments. The reason is that most small businesses don't have proper accounts payable controls. She may get away with this for years before getting caught. if ever. To avoid this employee fraud scheme, you must have an established accounts payable control policy in place. Controls such as a three-way match, spending approval limits, and three levels of approval. Next on the list of business frauds is time card fraud. This may also include ghost employees. Time card fraud involves clocking in but not actually working. Most are familiar with these types of payroll frauds. Perhaps you did this at your first job working fast food. Examples of time card fraud include employees entering time card corrections to say they erroneously clocked out early when in fact they went home. Employees taking vacation without submitting paid time off requests. Having one employee clock in or out to cover another employee's absence. Employees colluding with the bookkeeper to increase their payroll hours above what was actually worked. More serious is the ghost employee scheme. This is where the bookkeeper or payroll clerk creates fake employees in the system and issues payroll to that person. It can be a fake identity. Often it is a family member or friend. Payroll controls can manage the risk of payroll fraud schemes. Proper payroll accounting systems include submitting hours to managers for approval, requiring dual approval for creating new employees, background checks for new employees, and routine payroll audits. Next on the list is property theft. Let me give you an example. Sam is a maintenance tech at a machine shop. The shop has over $5 million in inventory on premises. Each week, Sam is stealing one bucket of scrap titanium worth $80 to sell to resellers. Although $80 a week is not a lot of money to a business, Sam's actions promote a culture of theft. This is a slippery slope to worse offenses. What company assets can your employee steal? Maybe it's a computer or merchandise or raw material. The easier it is to resell, the more likely it is to be a target for theft. Property theft is mitigated by the following policies. Routine inventory counts and reviews, such as cycle counting. Physical security, such as locked doors, cameras, badge readers, and visitor management systems. And zero tolerance for theft. The next is unemployment fraud. Thanks to COVID-19, unemployment fraud schemes are reaching massive new popularity. In this scheme, a person claims they were laid off from your company when in fact they never worked there, or at best, were fired for cause. All unemployment claims are sent to you in writing by the state. You should review these claims, verify the information, and report any discrepancies to the state as soon as possible. This will alleviate you of any potential liability or increase in your state unemployment and federal unemployment rates. A very popular employee fraud is credit card and expense report fraud. Credit card fraud is the most common employee fraud in small businesses. In this scheme, an employee purchases something for their own personal benefit using the company credit card, or reports it as a reimbursable expense. This employee fraud commonly occurs with Amazon.com, where purchase details are not often on the credit card statement, restaurant meals charged for business development, or fake travel, which never actually occurred. Many business owners abuse credit cards for their personal expenses. They tell themselves these fraudulent activities help lower taxes, or they commit asset misappropriation by using company vehicles or property for personal use. Despite the benefit of owners exercising this privilege, I strongly discourage owner asset misappropriation because, 1, you lower your business value when selling the company. 2, mixing personal and business expenses pierces the corporate veil, opening up the owner's personal liability. 3, tax enforcement is on the rise, increasing the risk of an audit finding. And 4, you set a bad example for employees, encouraging a culture of employee fraud. Credit card and expense fraud prevention is managed through accounting checks and balances, which include spending limits, routine audits, and purchasing controls. Now it's on to commission fraud. Imagine this. It's the end of the month, and your salesperson has been working on a big deal for months. The prospect has verbally agreed to the deal, but the paperwork has not yet been signed and returned. Let's count the sale for this month. The paperwork will be in tomorrow. It's a done deal, your salesperson urges. Commission fraud is one of the most common types of employee fraud. The salesperson is not trying to rip off the organization. They generally expect the deal to close, but they are cheating the business cash flow. What happens next month if the prospect still has not returned the paperwork? Another common employee fraud involves recognizing revenue for products that have almost shipped or for services that have not yet quite been performed. This is often done to hit quota or make year-end bonuses. Unfortunately, owners or managers changing revenue recognition policies for their benefit are committing fraud by skewing financial statements. The last common employee fraud is embezzlement through inventory fraud. Inventory is a complex account with lots of ins and outs and thus an easy place to bury embezzlement. For example, your bookkeeper pays themselves through accounts payable fraud. Remember my first fraud and example. They create a journal entry moving the debit from an expense account like freight expense to an inventory account like work in process or finished goods. If inventory is never audited, this employee fraud will go undetected. Even with cycle accounting, the error will merely be reported as a variance without explanation. Embezzlement through inventory is one of the most sophisticated types of fraud and is rarely detected in small businesses. To avoid this form of embezzlement, make sure you are following these steps. 1. Perform inventory cycle counting monthly by someone in operations, not your bookkeeper. Report cycle count variances to managers both within and outside of accounting. Perform routine inventory ledger audits to look for suspicious journal entries. And 4. Hire outside accountants to occasionally verify your controller's work. Now that I've covered the most common business frauds, what should you do to prevent fraud? It's essential to be proactive and put processes in place. Studies show that the more employees believe they will be caught, the less likely they are to commit fraud. Here are some practical tips for small business owners to reduce the risk of loss due to employee fraud. 1. Don't depend solely on external audits. External audits are usually performed once per year and months after the year ends. Even if the audit uncovers fraudulent activity, it may have been occurring for 12 months or longer before being discovered. Segregate accounting duties. Avoid allowing the accounting function to be controlled by a single individual. Segregate accounting duties in key areas instead. Such duties and responsibilities may include recording and processing transactions, sending out invoices, collecting cash, and making deposits. Routinely review financial information. If you have a small team and complete segregation is not possible, the business owner or an outside accounting firm should review the bank statements, preferably online or before the accountant has opened them, and bank reconciliations every month. Vendor payments should also be periodically reviewed. A common scheme is to set up fictitious vendors and manipulate bank statements with photo editing software before printing and filing them for review. 4, ensure accounting oversight. Hire an outsourced accounting firm to provide oversight, support, and possibly management of the in-house staff. They will start by reviewing your current accounting controls, workflows, and processes. Once that has been done, they will make recommendations for improvements, implementing best practices, or even take on some of the accounting activities. 5, get fraud insurance. Purchase a bond or fraud insurance to protect your business if a theft does occur. Another thing is to have trusted employees who handle the finances bonded. Require your bookkeeper to take a vacation. Embezzlement and other types of fraud require a constant paper trail to go undetected. Therefore, business owners should insist that employees who perform the company's accounting and bookkeeping duties take a vacation every year. Designate a backup person to cover their responsibilities during that leave. Ideally, the vacation should be at least a week long and occur over a month end when the books are being closed. Assuming your books are closed monthly, this is not an easy request with a small team. Another reason to build a trusted relationship with an outside firm. According to the ACFE's 2019 benchmarking report, 58% of organizations have inadequate levels of anti-fraud staffing and resources. This may mean conducting background checks will not be enough to protect your company from in-house fraud. If you suspect there is a fraudulent activity in your business, you need to hire a forensic accountant. They can properly examine accounting records, document fraud, and deal with the offender. Remember, fraud detection is not part of a financial statement audit, review, or CPA tax services. Most accounting firms are not trained in fraud detection. Fraud is illegal, making it a potential criminal matter. Proper discipline, prosecution, and or recovery of lost money is dependent on you handling the situation appropriately. Time to move on to business scams. Common business scams include phony invoices, directory scams, charity pitches, phishing scams, office supply scams, and overpayment scams. The first scam I'll cover is phony invoices. Businesses receive fake invoices demanding payment for products or services never ordered or received. The most common scams involve office supplies, website or domain hosting services, and directory listings. Often if you look closely, you'll see fine print that identifies the bill as a solicitation. Generally, the amount is small enough to not instantly raise a red flag. Perhaps the most intimidating is an invoice fraud from a local, state, or federal government agency for some kind of local fee, tax, or other official assessment required to stay in compliance with the law. These are sometimes stamped past due or are accompanied by threatening phone calls. Next is directory scam. This scam has plagued businesses for decades. In it, con artists attempt to fool businesses into paying for a listing or an ad space in a non-existent directory. In some cases, the directory will technically exist, but it won't actually be distributed to potential customers. Other times, the scammer might lie about being with a legitimate directory, such as Yellow Pages. When the scammer gets someone from the business on the phone, he or she will claim to be updating the directory. They will ask for basic information, such as the business's address, telephone number, and email. After the target replies, the representative repeats back the information and prompts the employee to confirm the listing. After receiving an invoice for the phony directory, the business calls back to complain. The representative says that an employee verbally confirmed the placement. In many cases, the scammer even plays back a spliced version of the previous conversation. The altered recording makes it sound like the employee agreed to the charge, when in fact, he or she was saying yes to the listing information. Either way, the business is billed hundreds of dollars for listing services they did not agree to or for ads that were never placed. Charity pitches prevail because every year most businesses are regularly asked to donate funds to charitable causes. While many requests are legitimate, every year small businesses become victim of fraudulent or deceptive charitable solicitation schemes. Before donating to any charity, research it. Make sure it is legitimate and that all or most of your donation will go to the actual charitable cause and not administrative expenses. Next on the list is phishing scams. Phishing scams attempt to steal sensitive information about your business. These scams often appear to be legitimate emails or text messages. However, when you click on the link, you download a virus that captures personal information or loads a form that asks for bank account or credit card details. Be leery of unsolicited messages and don't click on links. Instead, hover over the link with your cursor to see the real address. Also, be sure your computer has the proper firewall and computer protection software. There is a form of phishing scam called Business Email Compromise, BEC. Business Email Compromise fraud is an email phishing scheme that typically targets people who pay bills in the business. It has resulted in more losses than any other type of fraud in the United States, according to the FBI. In BEC fraud, the scammer poses as a vendor or other trusted source who sends an email to an accountant or chief financial officer. The email asks them to wire money, buy gift cards, or send personal information, often for a plausible reason. If money is sent, it goes into an account controlled by the con artist. According to a Better Business Bureau report, the majority of defendants who have been arrested or charged for BEC fraud in the U.S. over the last 3 years are of Nigerian origin. The report says 90% of BEC groups operate out of Nigeria, with other Nigerian fraud groups operating in the U.S., Canada, and many other countries around the world. The report notes that fraud gangs need the names of people within an organization, their job function, and their email username and password. These are often obtained with illicit open-source tools or free trials or lead generation services. They then send emails directly to people, impersonating a trusted superior or partner and seeking money. This can be accomplished with a fake email address or domain name, or by hacking a real person's email account. The office supply scam works as follows. The business receives an unexpected telephone call from someone claiming to represent a reputable company with which the firm does business. Sometimes, scammers will even call in advance to find out what brand of supplies or equipment the business uses. The scam caller will try to sell the business surplus merchandise at a reduced price, citing a cancellation or overorder by another purchaser. They encourage you to pay up front. When the delivery arrives, you find the products are overpriced, in poor condition, or faulty, or the merchandise doesn't exist. So don't be fooled. Other times, the scammer will send you stationery that your business has not ordered and then charge you for it. The scam works because many small businesses do not have clear procedures for ordering supplies. Many times they allow several employees to place orders. This makes it hard to confirm who ordered what. Instead of investigating, the business pays for the order. The final scam for small businesses is the overpayment scams. In this scam, the person you are doing business with sends you a check for more than the amount that they owe. They typically have a convincing story to accompany the scam. Then they instruct you to wire the balance back to them. Or they send a check and tell you to deposit it, keep part of the amount for your own compensation, and then wire the rest back. The results are the same. The check will eventually bounce, and you are stuck responsible for the full amount, including what you wire to the scammer. So stay engaged and ask questions. Let me offer these tips to help you protect your small business against these scams. Keep good records. Keep documentation of all orders and purchases. This will help you to detect bogus accounts and invoices. Be extra careful with payment procedures. Establish payment authorization procedures, including a multi-person approval process for transactions above a certain dollar threshold. Avoid some payment methods when possible. Wire transfers, prepaid debit cards, and gift cards are scammers' preferred methods of payment. Always confirm that any request for payment with untraceable methods such as these are verified by an authorized source. Also, try to pay by a written company check. This way, a paper trail has been created. Double-check vendors. Make sure that the business billing you is a business you're familiar with and normally do business with. If not, question it. Get the name of the person you speak with, the company name, address, phone number, and website. Be careful what information you share. Don't give out information about your business unless you know what the information will be used for. Never provide personal information or financial details to anyone you don't know. Protect your devices. Make sure you have proper computer protection software and a firewall. Don't click on links inside unsolicited emails. They could spread malicious software or viruses. And spread the word. If your employees know about the scam, they'll be more likely to spot it. And tell your colleagues, too. Maybe you'll get lucky and recognize one of the aforementioned scams before things go too far. Or maybe you'll fall prey to a scam, as many do every day. Either way, you should report what happened to the FTC. The agency has a special webpage specifically for those who want to provide tips. The Better Business Bureau has one too. Reporting attempted scams can help prevent scammers from striking again. Taking a few minutes to do this could save other businesses from losing their hard-earned profits and could lead to serious consequences for the perpetrators. Stay on the defensive. Keeping your business safe from fraud and scammers is truly a team effort. It requires a well-trained and disciplined staff. Understand, you can never let your guard down. You must remain vigilant. If you follow the guidelines I've laid out, you can further protect your company's assets from would-be thieves, and you'll know how to spot any signs of trouble before things get out of control. Don't become a statistic in next year's FBI report. Take action now to plug any holes inside your organization. Stay up to date on the topic so you're always aware of any new frauds and scams making the rounds. If you would like more information about this show, or any past Score Business Points show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If you have a comment about this show or past shows, or would like to hear a topic discussed on Score Business Points, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. That's all the time I have for today. Tune in next week at this same time for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They have been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA, and thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information about how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit OceanCounty.score.org. OceanCounty.score.org. And if you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at WBNJ.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the Ocean County Chapter of SCORE at 91.9 WBNJ.